don't sweat the technique.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Constellation Field. This is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Welcome back in. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Constellation Field in Sugar Land ahead of the Sugar Land Space Cowboy game. Being joined now by Joey Loperfido of the Space Cowboys. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us. Thanks for being on. How's it going so far early in this season?
It's going good. It's been beautiful weather out here in Sugar Land so far, and got a really good group of guys, great clubhouse, and a great staff. So it's been good vibes this past week.
So when Joey's in the kitchen and he's cooking, because we hear that cooking might be a hobby of yours, what are we eating, spinach? Because the power game has been off the charts right now for you.
You don't have to laugh at that, Joey. You don't have to laugh at his poor jokes.
Funny. Thank you.
No, I mean, in the off season, I'm trying to make, you know, some clean, good food to eat for my roommates and I. And in season, I don't get to do as much cooking for myself, but definitely trying to, you know, keep on the good weight. And
what are you whipping up? What's your specialty? Italian food?
So I made a paella at spring training, and then I love making Italian food. So I love, like, a good Sunday sauce, Sunday gravy, just like one big pan of red sauce and meat, okay, and put it on some pasta.
Not a bad idea. We were trying to talk our way into you being on the Astros opening day roster after a fantastic spring. What was the message as you start this season in AAA?
You know, I think just, you know, do everything I can day in, day out to prepare myself to play in the big leagues. You know, as the player, you always feel like you're ready and you always want to do that and want to be up there, and that's obviously the goal. But, you know, I think to approach, you know, this season starting here in AAA and Sugar Land is anything other than, hey, I'm going to, you know, day in, day out, make myself a better player. So when that time comes, I'm that much more ready for it. It's kind of what I want to do and been able to do that so far.
How much do you, especially being this close to the big club, how much do you, besides your day-to-day here in Sugar Land, how much do you keep an eye on the Astros and looking at what they're doing and who's doing what and trying to figure out, like, when my opportunity might come and if there's a chance for me to get 30 miles down the road?
Yeah, I mean, even as a fan of the game and of the team, you know, I do my best not to, you know, let it consume me like that. We'll watch, like, the post-game, like, condensed recaps back at the apartments, just as, like, see what's going on.
Sure.
And I'll watch that one in the Phillies with CJ. But you just don't really think about it like that. Like, for me, I day-to-day here would, like, just want to go throughout my work and my business without really thinking, like, oh, I wonder what who so-and-so did last night, that kind of thing. Just, I think if you do that, it kind of creeps in and, you know, before you know it, that's all you're thinking about, and you're not really
we'll
taking
do it for
care
you.
Of your own
business. Don't worry about that. We will absolutely
yeah,
do it for
yeah,
you.
That's what we do. We say a lot of nonsense, or sometimes it makes a lot
makes
of
a
sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Joey Loperfido joining us here at Constellation Field in Sugar Land. A lot of fans of the Astros, well, he's our future first baseman. He's our future center fielder. He's our future corner outfielder. You've played everywhere. You played some second base as well. What do you think's your best position defensively?
I love playing center field. But again, I think that, you know, versatility defensively is something I pride myself on. Really, since I was in high school, I mean, I'd play shortstop for my high school team and then in the summer circuit kind of play more center field. And then in college, my freshman year, first was kind of the way into the lineup. And my sophomore year, second was kind of like, hey, Joey, you can really help our team this year if you're able to do this. But got to play my last 2 years there at Duke in center, and that's kind of where I like to be best. But I think just continuing to get, you know, more comfortable in the other corner outfield spots and also, you know, keep first base in my back pocket is something I can do. Mm-hmm. You know, can only help you.
Well, and it can, especially because, again, I'll take it back to the big club, but we know that, you know, there are opportunities, that fourth outfielder spot. We know that going into the regular season, they were looking at center field. And obviously, you having the big spring made a lot of people pay attention. We know that they're always looking for a bat off the bench. Your versatility has to come into play. You look at a guy like Dubon and all the things he was able to do last year because he could play an infield spot or two and play the outfield. That has to lay in your favor no matter when you get that first call-up.
Yeah, and as a young guy, I mean, when you look at the big league team and how good they are, I mean, they're competing for a World Series every year, which is, I mean, where else would you want to be?
Right.
But I think that kind of furthers the point that, like, hey, you got to be able to hit and you got to be able to play defense well at multiple different spots because you never know where
did that first base experience come in?
I played it my full freshman year at Duke.
Okay.
So every game that season. And then in 2022 and 23, probably played almost, you know, 20-something games each year there.
Joey Loperfido, our guest, Constellation Field in Sugar Land on ESPN 97.5. We mentioned all the positions. How many gloves do you have in your bag?
Here at the stadium, I have probably six or seven.
Okay.
But a couple are just, you know, extras that I haven't broken in
sure.
yet. I'm with Marucci, and they have they give me these little, like, glove carrier cases to kind of protect them when we go on the road. So I'll bring four for road trips. I'll bring two outfield, a first base, and then a normal infield one, too. Just kind of an emergency.
Gotcha.
That's awesome. So you grew up in Philadelphia.
Just outside in Haddonfield, New Jersey.
In the Philly area.
Yep.
I heard there's a little bit of a – you had a little experience watching your current club and your hometown team of the Phillies in some big games.
So I was fortunate enough to go to Game 5 of that World Series that year where Chaz made the catch.
Uh-huh.
And it was awesome. I mean, that environment in Philadelphia, even being a little split between, you know, my hometown team and the Astros, it was just so much fun. And I remember my roommate, Chad Stevens, he's in Double A with us. We just looked at each other a couple times during the game. We were like, dude, like, this is what we're working for.
Yeah.
I mean, you looked around and even being there as a fan, I asked Jake and Chaz and all those guys just like a ton of questions this spring training about, you know, how was it, like the atmosphere, all that. And that's just what you're working for. You know, you can see, you know, the grind of the season, but you know, more or less at the end of the year, that's where you want to be playing, and to do stuff on that stage is really what everybody wants.
We know that you're working for your dreams, so you have to put in the time, of course, in the minors. We hear all these horror stories about players in the minor leagues. It's much different here, you know, with the Space Cowboys. You get up to the higher levels, but you're not that far removed from single A. What's the worst thing you could tell people about being a minor leaguer?
I mean, I think, you know, in the recent years, the conditions that we've, you know, had have been far and away better than years past.
That the union?
Yeah, I mean, just like the quality of the affiliates, the housing, the food. I mean, they're paying for the housing. Everything right. like that has been so much better. And even being the way they structure the schedule, being in the same place for six games in a row. I mean, thinking of the Texas League last year, like, that travel is 15 hours on the bus sometimes. And, I mean, even doing that for six games straight is one thing. But if you were going 15 hours, play a couple games, then, like, overnight bus, play another couple games, like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always say to older guys that played in the minors before me, like, hey, you had it much worse than we did. So I feel like we're pretty spoiled right now. I can't really think of anything.
You go to camp with all those veterans, and you talk about how good the team is, but you got some guys that, if they're willing, and sometimes we hear stories, some guys are, some guys aren't, but coming out of camp and being in a camp with that many veterans that have done what they've done, who was a guy that really kind of took you under their wing a little bit and kind of you had some good conversation with?
I think all the outfielders. That group's not only, you know, crazy talented and had individually so much success, but they're pretty tight-knit. My locker was right next to Tuck. And so he was just kind of from the beginning, like, talking to me every day, which was cool. But Chaz, Jake, all those guys in the outfield, just, you know, going through drills every day with them, being in the same groups. And them just, you know, a couple years before this, being in the, kind of my same shoes, you know, they were all really nice to me. And
Chaz has got some Pennsylvania roots, right?
Yeah, Westchester.
Yeah.
But no, just a great group of guys, and they work really hard too. They're grinders.
Cheesesteaks, are they overrated?
No, they're not. I wouldn't say
This isn't going back home. You can be honest.
Where's the best one in Philly?
I'm from Wisconsin, and that's not cheese.
So the best one in Philly is Angelo's.
Okay.
Far and away, their rolls are just superior. They're on the same street as this really famous bakery in Philly, so they get really fresh rolls, good meat, and then they use Cooper Sharp cheese,
okay,
which is really good.
Real cheese instead of that Cheese Whiz crap.
I mean, I've had Cheese Whiz on my cheesesteaks. It's coming, like, more late at night, maybe, like, after some entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's a Cheese Whiz time. But if I were just going to have a good, like, my favorite kind of cheesesteak, it's from Angelo's with the Cooper Sharp. And they make really good pizza, too. They were they started in my hometown, Haddonfield, and then they moved to Philly, and everybody was devastated.
It's good stuff. You looking to make an order?
I was seeing if I've been there before, because I've been to Philly a few times, but I never remember where I go. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible with names. So I was seeing if it's something, you know, jogged my mind about being there, but I don't think that I've been there. It doesn't look familiar. It looks delicious, though. I will say that. The bread looks phenomenal,
good.
You were talking about. It does look really good.
It's a changer because, I mean, when we went with the Rockets and the whole thing, I was in on how they made the meat and the onions and all the other, and then I saw the Cheese Whiz, and I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't think I can like that.
Joey, you you talked about just, hey, focused on the year, what happens. Is there an ETA for you, the goal for you?
No. I try not to think about goals like that, even, like, statistically. I think as minor leaguers, you know, you work all off season for this, and to put, like, any kind of statistical cap or anything like that on yourself, it's just not needed. So
yeah,
I'll do everything I can every day here to put myself in the best spot, and yeah, I'll let the chips fall where they may.
As a Dookie with a Coug, I mean, if Shed plays,
yeah,
are we talking about a different story?
That's a great question.
You're welcome.
That's a great question.
I don't think this was Duke's year,
yeah,
whether or not he played or not. But I think if you look at the recruiting class that they got next year, I'm a big fan of Coach
Pretty much
Shire.
Every year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're loaded last year. They're loaded next year.
Yeah.
I think they'll get it rolling. I think they'll keep competing.
So you do think if Shed played, they'd win, right?
Maybe. Joey, thanks for the time.
Good luck, man.
Love watching what you did in spring. Been paying attention to what you're doing here. We'll be rooting for you, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
You got it. Joey Loperfido stopping by on the HRNP guest line live from Constellation Field in Sugar Land. We'll step aside for a moment. When we come back, I have the top five pass-catching trios in the NFL. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Constellation Field. This is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blay and Jeremy Branham.
Good kid, that Joey.
Really good kid.
Good kid. It's interesting to me that he's played more center field this year than any other position. Just saying, like, we all thought he was going to come down, like, play first base, be the guy that takes over for Abreu. But he's been playing more first base, or center field.
Yeah, I'm saying if he's got wheels, it's kind of surprising to me he ended up at first base regardless. But I guess, you know, you look at a guy like, and I mentioned Dubon, but if you look at a guy that brings that much versatility to the table, he doesn't have to play there every day, but, man, his pop numbers are unbelievable right now.
I think, like, I've been clamoring for Brandon Belt. I think that Loperfido is your best left-handed bench option. They just don't want him to be on the bench because they want him to get everyday at-bats. Mm-hmm. I fully expect Joey Loperfido by summer, unless they sign somebody, which right. I don't think they will. I don't think so. I would like them to. I would love for them to sign Brandon Belt. I'll pound on that table each and every day until Brandon Belt has a baseball team. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's very, very slim. I think that Loperfido, by the time they're in the playoff race, like, you know, the actual like playoff stretch, the stretch drive, he'll be their bench guy unless they make a trade.
Yeah, he seems like with that kind of versatility and the pop that he's shown, and if he's got wheels, I mean, he'd be the perfect fit on this team. Like, you know, you can plug him anywhere. But, I mean, if he's got five hits on the year and four of them are bombs already here in Sugar Land, that's exactly what they'd love to have in a plug-and-play whenever they need a guy.
Now, the knock is that he swings and misses a lot, that he strikes out a lot. So they're trying to clean that up. Like last year, 134 strikeouts, 467 plate appearance, or 467 at-bats. This year he's got 10 and 21. So, like, that's the area mm-hmm. where for him to be a big league player, good big league player, he's going to have to cut down on the swing and miss. But he has power that plays, and I think he's a good defender. So someone to definitely keep an eye on. I thought there was a decent chance he was going to make the team coming out of camp because he just performed so well. But it also is kind of proves that we probably, you and I, everybody that follows spring training, puts way too much emphasis on spring training numbers. Last year, Jacob Melton went nuts in spring training. They left him unprotected in the Rule 5 draft, never even sniffed the big leagues last year. Meanwhile, Corey Jolks had a good spring training, not as good as Melton last year. He broke camp on the team. So spring training numbers, we put way too much stock into them. But rooting for Joey Loperfido, great guy. Spent the whole commercial break talking to us about football and stuff. So good to have him on. We'll certainly be rooting for him and hopefully gets called up sooner rather than later. We were going to discuss and are going to discuss the top five, in my opinion, pass-catching trios in the NFL. That's why Joey, he's like, well, you got to throw my Eagles out there. The top five, I have two that are honorable mention, first and foremost, that I want to bring up just to say let's keep an eye on them. First one, Chicago. I don't think you can put Chicago there yet because they're third one. And look, let's be very clear. I didn't go running backs here, and I went receiver tight end. Pass catching options. Didn't go running back. That's probably – you could have that argument, but we're not having it right now.
So we're not going two wide receivers.
You can go three receivers. You can go two receivers, one tight end. Pass catching options on your football team, but I eliminated running backs from the conversation because running backs are more running – like they're more running oriented. Sure, they'll help you in the passing game, obviously, but receivers, tight ends is what I'm operating with. The Bears, to me, are a team to look out for. They're not in my top five yet. They're like a team that's in the conversation. They're receiving votes. They're in the hunt. Because I love DJ Moore and I love the addition of Keenan Allen. That's a really good duo, but it's a steep drop-off to Cole Kmet. And I went well-rounded here. Your third option better be very, very good. So Cole Kmet, too weak of a third option to make the top five. Now, they could change things with their second first-round draft pick. That could be something that changes the equation here a little bit.
And the rumor is that they are looking hard at a wide receiver to give Caleb Williams another weapon.
The other honorable mention I have here is Minnesota. And Minnesota might be – you might argue Minnesota with me. The reason I have them out of my top five right now is because of the injury to T.J. Hockenson. Mm-hmm. Tore his ACL, MCL, a couple of days after Christmas.
Yeah, they're not expecting him back till November, right?
Yeah. It's the fact that if they had him healthy, they're squarely in the top five. Yeah. No problem being in the top five. But they don't, so who's their third guy? I don't even know who their third guy is.
I mean, K.J. Osborne's not even there anymore.
No, so he moved to the Patriots.
I thought he would win. Either way, he's not on the team anymore. So, yeah, I don't know.
Addison and Jefferson, and then who?
Addison and Jefferson
great
are great 1-2, but who's the third is the question.
So that's why they're on my honorable mention, a team to keep an eye on, but they're not quite cracking my top five. Number five is going to surprise you guys. It's going to surprise you guys. Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce, I think the best tight end in the NFL. They signed Hollywood Brown, who I think is one of the more underrated receivers in the NFL. And then Rashee Rice had a fantastic rookie year. He's going to have a better second year. Now, the big hang-up now with Kansas City at number five is, will Rashee Rice be suspended?
Yeah.
So the legal actions of Rashee Rice could totally change them in my top five.
But on the flip side,
if he's playing, they're in my top five. If he's not, they're out.
The other flip side is that from a first-round pick perspective, that last pick of the first
round. Well, you can't account that for that yet. You can't. Like, they're not on the roster, so you can't be like, well, I guess they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., so now they're in my top five. So I can't account for that yet.
You and I had, when we were doing, I think Jeremy was out one day, and we were doing one of the ones where we had seen that, whether it be one of the receivers from Texas or from LSU, that they were pretty hell-bent on using their first-round pick at the end of the first round
there were rumors,
on a wide receiver.
Yeah, there were rumors about the Chiefs being interested in Xavier Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a couple mock drafts that had him going there with the last pick of the first round.
We'll see what happens in the draft whenever the draft comes.
But low-key, they did a nice job replacing MVS and getting some guys in there for Mahomes.
Number four, Joey wouldn't be happy with me, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. Their duo is incredible, but again, I'm looking for a well-balanced three. I probably don't put as much value in the top two because you need that really good third piece to round it all out. We're talking depth here. We're talking trios. We're not talking duos. So I have the Eagles at four. Love A.J. Brown, love Devontae Smith, but Dallas Goedert's a pretty big drop-off to number three. That's a steep drop to number three.
Big catches, but he doesn't make a lot of catches.
He was under 600 yards last season, so less production than even Dalton Schultz. Goddard's had some good moments, but he's not the steady threat at number three that would move them further up the list.
You know, he's a guy that Hurts is going to throw to in big moments, but he's not going to get the volume of
perception. There's no volume to him,
Number three on my list, Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, who's had trouble staying on the field, whether it's injury or whether it's gambling.
You want to make a bet he's on the field?
Who matters that he gambles a little bit? Who cares that he gambles a little bit? And I love Sam LaPorta. I know it's been one year, Sam LaPorta, but I don't care.
Number two.
I actually did. I had Sam LaPorta as number two. So St. Brown, LaPorta, Jamison Williams, I'm bullish on that trio. I love that trio. Detroit's my number three team.
So far we got Kansas City, Philly, and Detroit, mm-hmm. I can pretty much guess the last two. Well, I just don't know the order.
I know we're not including running backs, but if you did, then Detroit also has a running back
sure.
there that
Jahmyr
would
Gibbs,
yeah,
of
Jahmyr Gibbs yeah. is an
and Montgomery.
As well.
Both guys, but Gibbs is really was a
yeah. Gibbs is dynamic with the ball.
Pass catching trios. Number two, San Francisco 49ers.
Ooh.
Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. They're my number two pass catching trio in the NFL. My number one, Houston Texans. The Houston Texans have made that leap. They have the best pass-catching trio in the NFL. Nico Collins, Steph Diggs, Tank Dell, best pass-catching trio in the NFL. And if you want to make this a quartet, they have an even greater pass-catching quartet than anybody in the NFL. You could argue Houston, San Francisco, 1-2. I get it. You might argue some other people with the Texans from a pass-catching trio. If you went pass-catching quartet, I don't think it's even close. Because now you got Dalton Schultz at number four. All these other teams that we're talking about, they don't have a number four. Schultz is better than Philly's three.
Yeah,
no, he's better than Goddard.
Obviously, you have to have three. So, because the two teams I was thinking that might still break your top two were either Miami or Cincinnati.
Miami doesn't have a three that I like.
Yeah, that's the problem. Miami doesn't have the third. Cincinnati doesn't have the third.
Miami's tight end's probably their third. What is it? Jonnu Smith.
And Boyd's gone from Cincinnati, right?
He's a free agent.
He's not signed, but he's not with them.
Yeah.
There's a big drop-off even if Boyd was on that football team. And now you have to give them Higgins. Like, if I'm not giving you draft picks, you have to give them Higgins. But that's a duo. Like, you tell me who Cincinnati's third receiver is right now.
Joe Mixon.
He's not a receiver, and he's not with his
I guess I might have put the Browns for others receiving votes. I mean, I guess
Cooper?
It depends on what you're – yeah.
I don't think –
well,
not.
And then David Njoku was really good.
Njoku, so there's your three.
Njoku was really good last year.
I
guess it depends on your thought on Judy.
I wouldn't have the Browns in my top half. I think they're right around the middle of the NFL when it comes to pass-catching trios. Like, Amari Cooper obviously killed the Texans, mm-hmm. really good receiver, but where is he relative to other wide receiver ones? Probably in the bottom of that conversation.
Kind of on the downside,
I think Jerry
right?
Judy's overrated. Now, I do think – I do like Njoku. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Njoku, but I'm not going to say Njoku's the top five tight end. So he's not there. So Miami –
he's not a top five.
Miami's third option, I think, is Jonnu Smith. Like, okay, like that doesn't scare me. Who was the other team that you said?
I said Miami and I said Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati because they don't have a third option. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going duos here, Miami and Cincy are probably in your top three.
Mm-hmm. That's where I was at.
They might be 1-2. They might be 1-2.
Philly's in that conversation.
I wouldn't have Philly ahead of Cincy as currently constructed with Chase and Higgins. I would have Chase and Higgins ahead of Philly. I would have Tyreek and Waddle ahead of Philly. I would have Cincy 1.
Those three right
Minnesota
there.
Minnesota would be in my top three, quite frankly, if we're going duos.
Top three?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd go top five, but I don't think I'd go top three.
Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, yes, are in my top three.
Addison had 10 touchdowns as a rookie.
Yes. Those are my top two, in fact. I'm going Minnesota. I'd probably go Cincinnati, Minnesota. I would probably go Chase Higgins. Then I would go Minnesota.
I think I would go Miami too, with Tyreek.
I would go them third.
Waddle.
I think Waddle's the.
I would take Waddle over Higgins.
He was dinged up last year.
I think Waddle's more dynamic than Higgins.
He's shiftier. He's quicker. I don't know if he's a better downfield option though.
He's faster. Ooh,
he's definitely faster.
Hey, you're
definitely
right. Higgins is a bigger receiver. Maybe you're contested catch scenario, you'd probably want Higgins over Waddle. But as far as just game breaking, I would take Waddle.
The other thing too, and maybe why I'm probably I'm not trying to poo-poo Waddle here, but I'm doing it because for the sake of the argument. If you get rid of Tyreek, I don't think Waddle's nearly as good. I know Waddle had a big year without Tyreek.
He had 100 catches as a rookie.
Sure, but it was
Tyreek.
More slot, more over the middle type of stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't and then he went, Tyreek came in there
but
and changed the dynamic
100
of the offense.
100 catches as a rookie. Not only without Tyreek there, but they didn't, Tua wasn't even the full-time starter at that point. I can't remember the other quarterback they were. I think that might have been the year that Ryan Fitzpatrick split.
No, it was the kid who was with the Jets, wasn't
Mike
it?
Mike White.
White.
Oh, so, yeah.
No,
he
I don't think so.
When Tua got hurt?
I think they signed.
Because Ryan Fitzpatrick was the starter that Tua replaced.
No, I think you are right.
I think it was White. I think he left the Jets.
Regardless, either way, he was dealing with lesser than a quarterback.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm going duos, I would go Cincy 1, Minnesota 2, Miami 3, Philly 4.
I'm going.
Maybe San Fran 5.
I'm putting Minnesota ahead of San Francisco, but behind Philly, Cincinnati, and
Miami. Where would the Rams fit in with Cooper Kupp and Puka?
I had the Rams 15th because they take.
I'm talking about as far as a duo.
Oh, duos?
Like if you went to duo.
Yeah, but Cup wasn't as good as he was 2 years ago.
No, not ahead of those guys. I would probably have the Rams around 7 or 8.
Yeah.
If I'm going just duos.
That feels fair.
With, I mean, Chicago's duo. Chicago's duo needs to be in that conversation.
Green Bay's got four options, but they're not there yet.
None of them are like studs yet.
I don't know if.
Right.
Is any one of them a one? That's the kind of
issue. Well, Watson's supposed to be. He can't stay healthy.
Now, the Texan, like a Texan duo, I think is probably outside of the top seven. Like, what helps the Texans here is the trio aspect, and their third receiver is just better than anybody else's third option.
Yeah, but Tank had a great year, and Nico had a great year. I think that just those two guys could.
You going Nico Tank over Puka and Cooper?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because I think as good as Cup has been, I could see him falling off and not getting back to where he was.
You go in Nico Tank over DJ Moore, Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not expecting. I think Keenan Allen's starting to fall off.
I think I would, too. I mean, look, hey, Tank Dell, go Cougs. I mean, he was on pace for, what, double-digit touchdowns or over 1,000 yards before he got hurt as playing as a fullback? So,
are you willing to give him top five in your duos? Because now you're ahead of either Cincy, Minnesota, Miami, Philly, and then who do we say our fifth was? San Francisco.
No, I would put them firmly at six.
So it sounds like you are probably have them top seven, but not top five.
Top seven. Yeah.
I think I have the duo out just outside the top seven, but I have the trio number one.
It's a
and
fair
I have the
argument.
Quartet number
but
one
I,
by far.
As you name those teams off, I think I would put them at six.
Someone mentioned the Rams 9506 Rock and Roll 610.
I don't like Godwin. Right
Godwin
now,
and Evans.
I mean, Mike Evans is a very good one still. But
are we talking duos or trios here? Because they're trios. Awful.
Yeah, duos.
Duos would be in my top 10-ish. I probably don't put it ahead of the Texans.
No, CD and then who in Dallas?
Nobody.
Brandon Cooks.
Oh, that's right.
Brandon Cooks would be your second receiver.
Yeah, because Gallup's gone.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Cooks is better than Gallup, though.
But Gallup was coming off a surgery, I think, this year.
Yeah, but I don't think Gallup has ever been as good as Brandon Cooks.
Ooh.
I don't think
ever?
So. Never.
No.
Ever. No.
He has a moment, but his moments weren't as good
as
Brandon Cooks.
Before he got hurt, was it 2 years ago?
He was never as good as Brandon Cooks.
But, I mean, Cooks had 1,000-yard seasons with four different teams.
And he
now.
Was traded for a first-rounder twice and a second-rounder once. Like, he's had incredible value
when he was
around
with,
the
NFL. Rams and –
somebody said Seattle. Seattle's my top 10 trio.
The problem is, though, I mean, obviously DK is established as a one. Lockett's on the downside. And we haven't
seen the kid from Ohio State.
JSN. He had a decent rookie season, but he hasn't fully broken out.
I still think they're top 10 trio.
I do, too. But I would have specifically if we narrow it down to duos, though, I would have a hard time, like, saying who's the second guy. Because Lockett's kind of on the way down, and Jackson Smith and Jigba is – not really fully broken out.
Their duo is probably in the top 10, too.
Devontae, but Vegas doesn't have anything else.
They have the guy they signed, Devontae Parker. He's okay. They spent more money on Parker than he's worth, but it's a pretty significant drop-off. I would probably have the Raiders outside of my top 10. And if you were to include them in their trios, who's your third option? Michael Mayer?
Yeah.
He didn't do much as a rookie. But most tight ends don't, other than
I think Cleveland, especially if you put in Njoku with the year that Cooper had last year, those two guys.
I still don't have them in my top 10, whether it's duo
or
trio.
They're solid. They're upper half, but I wouldn't put them
9-3, 9-2. Falcons should have been there, but they had a stupid coach. I don't think that I don't disagree, but they're probably more top 10 than top 5, Atlanta. Drake London.
B.J. Robinson.
They would be better if
not Bijan.
Right.
Oh, that's right, not running back.
They would
so London, Pitts. And who's their third?
It'd be Mooney right now.
Oh. Yeah, that's a significant drop-off at third. Their duo would be ranked higher than their trio, for sure. There's not a better quartet. You can argue me with trio with the Texans. I get it. I still have the Texans' number one trio, rock and roll. You can't argue with me with a quartet, though. Like, there is not a better quartet in the NFL, and I will stand on that table.
Nope.
I will listen
true.
To an argument for trio. I am not listening to an argument for a quartet.
Not even close.
All right, 713, somebody said the Titans. Titans are not awful, but they're bottom half of the NFL. You have DeAndre. You brought in Calvin Ridley. DeAndre's older.
Who's the three, though?
You don't have a very good three.
Yeah.
You don't have a very good three. Duo's better than
the kid from Arkansas that's been a complete disappointment.
Traylon Burks?
Yeah,
no.
Burks.
He's not a good three.
He's been somebody said Pollard. We're only going pass catchers. Pollard's not the running back. But their duo's not awful. Their duo might be hot top half of the league, trio's bottom half.
Hopkins was sneaky, still over 1,000 yards last season, so he's not washed yet.
Indy?
I like Pittman
a
lot.
Pittman's good. Yeah, but
Downs is. I mean, I guess Josh Downs would be their number
he's
two.
He's got to step up.
But I don't think he's not a top level two yet.
And tight end,
that's Mo Alie Cox. I mean, who else is there?
Lions for top duo or trio ranking? I have Detroit as my number three trio.
Amon-Ra and Laporta actually have an argument to be top 10 as a duo.
I think they have an argument to be top 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in that. Detroit's sneaky good, man.
They're good. I don't know if they put them top 5.
Yeah, they're right on that cusp. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Two worries that you can put to rest for the Texans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, let me take a moment for X-Golf in Katy. Go to X-Golf Katy on the internet and find out how awesome a place this is. It's the best combination of a great sports bar and the best golf simulators you're ever going to find. If you're a golfer and you want a place where you can hit balls at night, you can do a range, you can play 50 courses worldwide, and they're the most unbelievable simulators I've ever been on. The putting is accurate, that you can track every shot, the distance, the direction, the height, every bit of it. You can practice your golf whenever you feel like it. And because there's sports all the time, there's sports on TVs all over the place, great food and beverage, it's a phenomenal place. Masters is coming up. Masters Sunday is a special day. They have 8 golf simulators. I think 4 of them already sold out. They got 4 more to go. You can pay one low price. I think it's $400, but you get the simulator all day from 3 o'clock until 8 p.m. You can have, there's a scramble going on where you can have a foursome compete for prizes like a new driver or a new wedge custom fit. But on top of that, they bring in all the same food as you get at the Masters. You watch the Masters while you're competing and having fun on the simulators. What a great time. They also got leagues starting up in the next 2 weeks, so you can contact them and find out when you can get either an individual league or a team scramble league of twosomes. It's phenomenal, but I'm telling you the best part about it is these are the best simulators. They're the only X-Golf simulators in the area. Check them out today. Go to X-Golf Katy.
Live from Constellation Field for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We're broadcasting live from Constellation Field in Sugar Land, home of the Space Cowboys. You can catch all Space Cowboy games on ESPN 92.5. All right, I think Brian put this in the rundown today. Two worries that you can put to rest and stop stressing over when it comes to the Houston Texans. BMAC?
Yeah, so we've obviously had some of these conversations throughout the offseason, and it's not limited to us. I think you hear that with people that call into the radio station, people you see talking on Twitter, or just friends that you have, worrying about, you know, the schedule and a possible second half or second season sophomore slump from C.J. Stroud. But I think you're beyond that with the moves that the Texans have made. Like, you to me, you can't look at what the Texans have done with their roster, transforming their defense by adding Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter, Azeez Al-Shaair, and then obviously with the offense with Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. You can't look at that and then still worry to me about the schedule, because worrying about the schedule to me is a problem for a team that feels lesser than. It's a problem if you feel like your team can't compete with the quote of the other first place teams. But the Texans, I think, have put themselves with their roster, with their moves, in a place where you're now, I mean, you're not the Chiefs, but you're now in a group, in a tier with other first place teams, where to me you're beyond that fear. It's not, I don't want to put the Texans in the Chiefs category, but like just putting them through that mindset, like the Chiefs fans would obviously never worry about, oh my God, we have a first place schedule. They don't worry about it because they have a team good enough to compete with those other first place teams. And I think now with what we saw last year from Stroud in year one and just the unbelievable year he had and the additions they made to this roster, you're beyond, to me, having to worry about the schedule. It's not like a nothing factor, but it's not nearly the factor I think it's being made out to,
yeah,
to be.
I think you can say that, yeah, no team should scare you anymore, but it's obviously a factor when you think about the fact that you had a cakewalk schedule last year compared to what you have this year. And so, you know, it's not from a standpoint that it should be intimidating to you, but it can factor in. It can be, you know, playing as many good teams week in, week out, especially when your last playoff spot or you're fighting for playoff positioning and home field and whatever, and you're fighting against teams that have a lesser than schedule. That's where the schedule still matters. That's where the first place schedule you have to take note of. But yeah, in terms of what they've done, that and the way they've added talent to be a Super Bowl type contending team, no team on that schedule should fear them. They should look for it as a great barometer to play Kansas City whenever they play them in the season when the schedule comes out, and say to themselves, hey, look, this is a great measuring test to figure out where we stand up to the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, the I kind of related the Texans going into next season, kind of how Houston basketball went into the Big 12. Well, they got such a tough schedule. Their schedule's going to be so much more difficult. Their conference is just way better. Won the league. like, good teams are good teams. Sure, your opponents are better. Yeah, the Houston Cougars' opponents in the Big 12 are better than their opponents in the American. The Texans' opponents in 2024 are going to be better than their opponents in 2023. But the Texans are pretty good. The Texans are really good as well. So I'm with Brian on this. I don't have the worry of the more difficult schedule. Plus, no one's asking you to go 15-2. Like, no one's telling you you need to go win 15 of your 17 games against a first-place schedule. You go 10-7, you're winning the AFC South. You go 11-6, you're going to be in the conversation for a first-round bye. Probably not 11 wins. You're probably going to get 13
you, yeah,
right there.
Yeah, you probably get.
But you win 10 of 17 games. It's not that's not crazy that the Texans, with a first-place schedule, can win 10 of 17. I expect them to win 10 of 17 games and win the AFC South. So I'll put that one to rest as well.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's a fear, but I think it's a factor. I think that you have to factor in the fact when you are looking against other teams and other divisions and that are coming from a different spot where they didn't have the success of a year ago, that it could come down to the fact that you're playing a gauntlet and somebody else isn't when it comes down to playoff positioning.
Well, do you think the Texans are going to win the division?
I think they should, yes.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like it's too much of a concern for you.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a factor. It's not a fear.
I also do think, and there's no way to really know this until they actually play out the schedule. This might be just more anecdotal than anything else. But I also feel like the Texans at times last year played better when they felt pushed. Like when they had games against the Falcons and the Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
they didn't play as well. And those were teams they obviously should have handled. But I don't know if I want to use the term playing down to their competition, but I do think that it seemed to be a team that, other than the Ravens games, responded better to being challenged by better teams.
Well, there's a case to be made when you say, yeah, they took teams for granted and then they crapped the bed. And when they played Joe Burrow in Cincinnati,
right,
or they had to win the last game of the regular season,
the Colts, Browns,
they,
in the playoffs,
on the road, yeah. They stood up to the challenge and whooped it.
Ocho says, BMAC, I disagree because regardless of the roster upgrades, they still have to play a higher level consistently compared to last season when you could win with your B or C game.
But you lost with your B or C.
But,
lesser competition.
But I think it has to be restated. And watch, I don't think we stated in this segment, but so stating for the first time, the difference between a first place schedule and a last place schedule is three games. Like, the majority of your schedule is not based upon your record from the season prior. It's your division and then the rotations with the other AFC and NFC divisions. So I get those three games that are different between last year and this year are much harder.
Yeah.
But the Texans are better. And, again, it's 3 out of 17.
Well, there's two. I mean, the divisions could be better.
It can be.
The divisions you're playing could be better.
True. But that's not part of a quote-unquote first-place schedule.
No, that's not part of the first-place schedule. It's just more of the randomness of a schedule
right.
being more difficult or not. What was the other worry that you could put to rest?
It was the sophomore slump. Now, this hasn't been as prevalent a fear as that I've heard from Texans fans and people who cover the team. But I don't see how you can look at adding Stephon Diggs now and keeping Slowick and see any chance for a drop off from CJ Stroud. You feel great. You definitely think I think you have two number one wide receivers. Tank is a great number two. You have Dalton Schultz. You have a solid running game. You kept your play caller. You kept not that it was ever in doubt, but you kept your head coach that put this thing all together. I don't see any way that we see a sophomore slump from CJ Stroud.
Look, it's hard to fathom it. You know, it's happened in the past where you say that there's a percentage of it, but you always say that there could be a chance because Vince Young won Rookie of the Year and then completely crapped the bed.
Yeah, Vince Young was never that good, though.
No, but what I'm saying is to finish that thought is the fact that, you know, when you look at it, CJ Stroud, to put the rookie year together that he did, and to your point, you know, they want guys that get into their routes quickly. They want guys that, you know, get the ball out of his hands quickly. Well, now, instead of worrying about guys that, you know, maybe are past their prime like Woods or trying to show that they, you know, are sustainable for a season in Brown, you got those three guys to throw the football to. You got a tight end that you love to throw the football to. You got a running back you can, again, throw the football to. It's set up for him to have an easier time putting together another season like that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Brian.
He carried far less last year than he's going to have to carry this
year. He made guys better. He made some guys that weren't what we thought were very good, serviceable and better.
Right.
Like, his numbers might not be what they were, and, like, injuries are always a factor. But, like, if he played 15 games and he had less touchdowns next year, well, what if the Texans' offense is better? Like, the numbers to me aren't really relevant. Like, is he playing at a top first or second tier level at the quarterback position. I think he did in his rookie year, and I don't think he will not do that in his second year. I don't see any slippage. Statistically, maybe, but who cares? Like, play at that level, yeah. Win football games, that's fine.
Even, like, with interceptions, you're going to get some fluky ones that either one year they go your way, last year they, you know, even some of the ones that maybe should have been caught weren't. But interceptions don't matter if you're putting up points and, you know, you're building leads to where, you know, you can do some things and maybe he's not, the statistics don't matter because maybe you're sitting down or, you know, you have the ability to kind of just feed the running game because you're up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
713-780-ESPN, are those worries? Are they still worrisome? Are you putting those to rest? Also, what's your nomination for our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Look, make it simple for you. Are you losing your hair? Are you having pattern baldness, thinning? You don't have any more hair on your hairline or up on top and back, and you think there's nothing you can do about it? You're not interested in all the gimmicky sprays and creams and foams? Let me tell you about the NeoGraft procedure. It's taking your own hair where genetically you're never going to lose it, and as Doc Linville explained to me, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He takes some of that hair, he repurposes it where you need it, and in no time at all, you see the results of having more hair, having better coverage, and having more self-confidence because of it. Check it out today. Go to 975hair.com. As a listener to us that goes there to get the information, you have the ability to get a consultation with Doc and his staff for free. It's normally $150. For you, for listening to us, you get it for free. You get to go in, ask questions, get answers, and you never once have to sign on the dotted line or cough up any money or make any commitment. You just figure out if you might be the next in line to reap the benefits of the NeoGraft procedure and the best in the business, Doc Linville. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com. Tell him Joel Blank sent you. Bye.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you brick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Thanks for Constellation Field for having us out. Sugarland Space Cowboys. Good to talk to Joey Loperfido. Space Cowboys play today at 6:30 against Las Vegas. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound. If you're looking for something to do, you got a little bit of time to get here. Spencer Arrighetti's been dominant in his first two starts, and then potentially Justin Verlander starting on Sunday.
I did learn one thing that I think you want to come out for next week. April 19th is a JP France bobblehead day. Our guy Garrett, who does the play-by-play for the Space Cowboys, clued me in on something. The mustache for the bobblehead is not just plastic. It's real hair.
What?
This goes back into the days of the Moochie Norris.
I guess. Yeah,
was it real hair?
Oh, Moochie Norris bobblehead.
That's what he told me.
When he had the wild fro. The bobblehead used to have the wild fro. Yeah.
Where'd they get the hair from?
A doll? I don't know.
I didn't ask further questions, but our guy Garrett said the mustache for the JP France bobblehead here at Constellation Field April 19th. Real hair for the mustache.
Are they getting JP France's mustache hair from a horse? MTV JP. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day?
Major League Baseball and the A's for this situation, for where the hell they're going to play over the next several years.
Sacramento.
You commit to Vegas overall, but they don't have a stadium, and the one that they do is a minor league stadium doesn't fit enough. So you're going to play in Sacramento while you're finishing up in Oakland before you go to Vegas? What are we doing?
I have no problem with it. This is a step that was necessary for them to go to Vegas, and I want them to be in Vegas, so I'm cool with that.
You got a lot of fans, too, that are pushed back. Well, there's still a chance for Oakland. I think that
what fans? Sales. That's the other thing. Like, the ballpark's too small. They get 45 fans at a game. Like, you can host that anywhere.
Opener, didn't
they? Are they playing at a minor league ballpark?
Yeah. Didn't the opener, they did instead of a sit-in, they did it in the parking lot. So, I forget how many thousands of fans came, and they sat in the parking lot.
Yeah, what was weird, though, is they're not going to go by the Sacramento A's while they're there. They're dropping the city. Like, the Facebook dropped the Facebook and just went with Facebook, dropped the Or, like, the Commanders that were Washington when they dropped their racist name and they didn't have a nickname. They just went by Washington. The A's are going to go by the Athletics or the A's and not mention their city.
For the next 2 years.
That's the car wreck. I have no problem with them going to Sacramento, but the fact that you're not even acknowledging that you're Sacramento is weird to me.
You know, the other thing, too, is if you're just thinking about it purely from a financial standpoint, marketing, for those years you're in Sacramento, you could sell Sacramento A's gear and make a boatload of money.
Yeah, it's odd to me they're not recognizing Sacramento. The studio that made Happy Gilmore is my car wreck of the day.
Yeah.
They wanted to name Happy Gilmore Hole in Fun. Instead of Happy Gilmore, they wanted the name of the movie. Adam Sandler said this.
You hear they're making Patrick another
show.
One.
Yeah, they're making another one. Which, could you imagine?
So you're
Hole
saying
in
the original?
That the was original a... Happy Gilmore,
oh.
The studio wanted
Yikes.
The name to be Hole in Fun. Not Happy
Well, they
Gilmore.
Made the right call not to go with that. Yeah.
They
yeah.
wanted it to be Hole in Fun. That's about as
Hopefully
bad as you can
Hopefully
that
studio exec got fired.
Yeah. There's so much that could be said about that title if it had been used.
What can you say?
There are
Luckily
other
for Joel, we only have a couple
there are other
left.
Spinoffs that could be used for that title.
We got about 90 seconds, so Joel's safe.
Brian, you got a car wreck of the day?
Yeah, I'll name Paul Pierce for obviously having no clue who Caitlin Clark was before like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, he needs to be a little bit familiar with her game. 3338, car wreck of the day, was Blanker's naming fault.